Welcome to my very first episode of Hot Off the Mess. I am your host, Samantha Bush. You may know me as Bravo Historian on Instagram, but please just call me Sam. We're friends, well, we're internet friends, and that is what friends do. Before we get started, here are some of the things about me. I live in Detroit. I have a fat ass beautiful cat named Barbara. So if you hear her chime in at any time, my apologies. She's just very chatty. I don't know where she gets that. So how every week is going to go is it's basically a stream of consciousness that gives you a good breakdown of the Bravo headlines and honestly, whatever I find interesting, I just need to talk about. So we have a lot to cover this week, including, Jersey and Frank Catania, that bleak Dallas reunion preview that we got, an Oscar moment, and of course, the introduction to icon Summer Moon Honey Davies. So let's get started.
Ah, beautiful. Oh, thank you so much. Beautiful. Thank you. Don't think over there. I'm going to grab someone's turkey.
Oh, my God. It's literally a club sandwich, and he's so excited. Let's start with New Jersey. And by New Jersey, I mean icon legend Frank Catania. Now, if you are a follower of my Instagram, you know my love affair with this man. I have an actual album on my camera roll titled Frank Catania, and it's Frank Catania holding little items. Like one time he was holding a little piece of broccoli, another time he was holding a cup, and like everything this man, another time he was holding a little like guacamole container, and everything he holds looks like it is miniature size. Like it looks like it's found in like the toy department at Target. It is so small. I'm just obsessed. And there's this scene where they're at the golf course and the waitress, you know, he's with the boys, he's with Evan, he's with Joe Gorga, he's with Joe B. He is just having the time of his life. And the waitress brings over what looks to be just a club sandwich. Nothing special. This isn't like the spread Jennifer Aiden's mom put on. It is a literal club sandwich from a golf course. And Frank Catania, you just hear him in the background and he just goes, oh, beautiful, beautiful.
Ah, beautiful. Oh, thank you so much. Beautiful, thank you.
And it's just so Frank, and it's just why I love this man. Like, he loves food more than I love my cat. Like, I mean, you gotta give it to him because he was acting like this was like a delicacy. And I don't even think Frank would like a delicacy. I feel like he's a simpleton and he likes ribs and steak and mashed potatoes and, you know, I don't really see him going for like the sashimi. So then there's a little scene with Dolores. It's not ever mentioned. There's no context to it whatsoever. But she's got some like slices of meat, frozen meat on her shoulders. And if that's not Jersey, like, I don't know what is. I would never see Lisa Rinna with slabs of fucking meat on her shoulders with no context. She's just on the phone with meat on her shoulders. I was like, where are we and what are we doing here? Like this is why Jersey is so good this year. And I have said it so many times. Jersey this year, I think, is the perfect season of Real Housewives because there's been like some drama, obviously, with Jackie and Teresa, with Margaret and Jennifer. But they move on. Like, they're not like a Beverly Hills where they stay in the drama the whole season and that's all we're talking about. Like, they seem to be able to move on, and it also is pretty light drama. Nothing is too heavy. We also get to see Teresa, you know, gushing about her new boo, who, again, if you're familiar with my Instagram, you know that I think he's a grifter, alleged grifter. I gotta say alleged because I don't know. But I get vibes. I get very dark, sinister vibes from this man. And I mean, Teresa's not a very good judge of character. I gotta tell you, like, the women and the people that she chooses to be around are questionable at best. So I don't necessarily know if I trust this guy and her judgment of him. But there's something that I also need to get off my chest. And I'm a Jackie lover. I love Jackie Goldschneider. I think she is a great housewife. I think she's great for the show. I think she's a good person, which is like hard to do when you're on these shows. But we need to have a quick come to Jesus. The hair. I need her to get it in order. Every scene, it's crimping, it's crunching, it's flying away. I just would like some clarity into what's happening. And there was also a moment where she had this funky braid. It was tragic. And then we get to the party at Michelle's house. Who is growing on me? I thought she was a little sinister, but I feel like she's fine. I don't really like her husband. I don't see how those two like really match, but whatever. That's another story for another time. But Jackie's hair again. It was so weird. And it was just like, they would cut to Jackie like reacting to things being said. And it was like, it was hair. It was fucking hair. It was like my Skipper Barbie doll that I had who had braids in at one point. And I took them out like an idiot and brushed them. And they were just crimpy and like sticking up in the air. It was like, it was a mess. And I love my little Jackie. I'm a jack-o'-lantern. And she's always got like a weird bang. We did see pictures of the reunion looks. I do think overall the cast looks phenomenal. Jackie did seem to get her little hair in order for that. So thank you for seeing yourself on television and realizing what you need to do, because that is honestly so important. All right. Now for the moment we've been waiting for when it comes to a Jersey recap. Dolores, okay? Dolores is a legitimate bad bitch, okay? She is like one of the most beautiful women I have ever seen. She's got boobs and lips and eyes and cheeks and hair. Like, she is just like, she's just a woman, you know? Like, I just love her. I want her to like put me in her bosom and like hug me and tell me everything is gonna be okay. Like, she's always got like a really pretty like lip gloss on, and like her hair is always like really wavy and pretty. I don't know. I just like have like a total girl crush on Dolores. But I gotta tell you, this idea that David, Dr. David, is the end all be all because he doesn't hit you or cheat on you. That is like, that is like bottom of the fucking barrel. Like, that is like standard. That is, you shouldn't, that, no one should be doing that, first of all. So the fact that that's the only thing she can ever say about David is that he just doesn't hit her or cheat on her. Like, okay, well, I would appreciate if no man did that to you ever. But also, he's never around. He didn't propose. Like, I get where she's coming from when she says, why do the women, you know, question me about David all the time, blah, blah, blah. I think it's because, like the viewers and myself, the women see Dolores as this, like, goddess. And they see David as, like, like if a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle lost like all the pigment in their skin and like was just living in that gutter. I don't think he's worthy of our queen. I just don't. I just don't see it. But to see Patterson Dolores come out, I mean, that was a real treat. And I got to tell you, you know, Frank, he was so horny. Like, when he saw Patterson Dolores emerge, he was like, that's my girl. I mean, I think he was a little upset that Joe Gorgo was kind of throwing him under the bus a little bit, being like, yeah, Frank fucked you over. Like, he was like really going in on Frank a little bit. He was like, Frank cheated on you and yelled at you and he was horrible to you. And I was like, Jesus Christ, like, this is your friend. So Frank looked a little shook, I will say, but I do love the dynamic between, I think I speak for everyone when I say that, I love the dynamic between Frank and Dolores because they know each other so well. And when she got in the car and he's like, stop yelling at me. And she goes, I'm not yelling at you. I'm just really upset. Can you just give me a minute and I can calm down? I was like, we love a self-aware queen and we love a man who respects that. And so I don't think Frank is really going to love. I feel like that comes up at the reunion, basically, is he's going to tell Joey, little Joey Gorga, that what he did wasn't cool. Like, we don't need to bring up what he did 25 years ago. Like, Dolores has dealt with it. Now she's settling for Dr. David. And Jennifer kind of brought up a good point. I will say, she said, my husband's a doctor and he makes time. And I got chills because he's got 5 kids, a wife, crazy ass in-laws. One of them's always on an iPad with his little earphones hanging out of one ear. Like, hunched over. He's adorable, but I mean, never mind. I'm going to hell. I'm not going to say anything. So I just am like, see, like that's a man. Like, and he doesn't hit her or yell at her or cheat on her. Like, you can, Dolores, if you're listening, which you're not, you can find a man who will treat you like a fucking princess. And I know she's happy in her life. I'm going on a rant. I need to relax. I'm getting like worked up. I just think she deserves better, and I'll just leave it at that. I don't want to get too mean on Dr. David, just in case I ever move to New Jersey and like get pregnant and he somehow winds up my doctor. I don't want anything bad happening to me. Okay, now that we're out of Jersey, let's kind of sort of get into Dallas or whatever is left of Dallas. Now, I am a Tiffany Moon stan. I am a Deandra stan, which is a new thing for me. I wasn't fully on board with Deandra the last couple seasons. I feel like with her and Leanne, it got kind of a little too dark for me. There was just a weird energy there. But now, I mean, I gotta be honest, I don't have much to say about the last couple episodes of Dallas. It's gotten a little hard to watch because the Carrie stuff and the Brandy stuff. I mean, is Brandy pregnant? What's going on? Like, I'm not even trying to be funny because it's like some women genuinely don't know that they're pregnant, but like, girl, we see. We thought the bump ain't lying to us. And I like, it's just never addressed. And like, the timeline doesn't really work out. And I don't know, like, it's hard for me to really sink my teeth into this show because everyone is so fucking unlikable. And Stephanie, who was the most likable of everyone for the last, what, 5 years, is, I don't know where she is. She, like, in a scene with her, I actually see her just dissolve into particles and she just evaporates into thin air. I don't know where the fuck she goes. I don't know. Like, she's just not around. Like, she just isn't present. Her mind is not present. And I think she's so worried about being liked that she just isn't going to say anything. But, like, that's not what we need in a housewife. You know what I'm saying? So I really don't have much to say, but we did get the Dallas preview for the reunion.
I don't know what part of you felt like you weren't being yourself. You brought a blow-up doll with a large phallic object.
And when I tell you, I screamed when I saw that set. It was heinous. And I mean, I wanted to burn the New York set to the ground this past year. There was like 30,000 rugs. It looked like the inside of a Zarin Fabrics. It was out of control. But this is like Aztec-y vibes meets COVID, meets like Lazy Boy chairs, meets Brandy sitting on the floor of her hotel room in the complete darkness with a high scrunchie. I was actually shocked. So if you don't know, excuse me, I had to, it's not funny. It's not funny that they got COVID. It's not funny. But Brandy Redmond and Carrie got on the plane. They're very much like anti-vaxxer, alleged anti-vaxxers. They got COVID. They got coronavirus. And they had to do the reunion from their hotel room. And when I tell you, like, Bravo must have been like, you don't deserve a ring light for this. Because when they showed the big ass, they had to go to Best Buy for this. Bravo had to go to Best Buy and pick up fucking TVs to put them on chairs. 6 feet, mind you, they're still 6 feet apart from the other cast members. Like, Stephanie's not going to get COVID from Brandy on a fucking screen. So it looks like we're living in Xenon Girl of the 21st century. It's giving me Man Behind the Curtain, you know, from Wizard of Oz. It's awful. And when they showed Brandy Redman with that fucking ponytail on top of her goddamn head, I was like, that is why I hate her. Because she is stuck in 1994. She at some little southern high school, you know, where she meets Brian. There she's a mean cheerleader girl. Like, she's the stereotype of, you know, okay. All right. Really quick. I don't know why my mind goes to these places. I really don't know why I'm like this. But so this morning, on my way to work, I was listening to 1985 by Bowling for Soup. And I don't know if you've ever heard the song, but the song is about Brandy. Like, Brandy thought that she was going to be dancing on the hood of Whitesnake's car, and now she's got a yellow SUV, and it's the enemy, and one Prozac a day, and she's married a CPA. Like, those are the lyrics, you guys, and that is her life. Like, she thought she was going to be living life, living large, and she is instead on the floor of a hotel room, dimly lit, very dimly lit, with a bottom eyeliner and a scrunchie, doing a reunion for Housewives. And she's had the worst season she's ever had. So this is just, it's, I wish so badly that she was there, but it's almost even better that this might be her send-off and she's doing it via Zoom. And then Carrie, I mean, at least Carrie pulled a look together. Like, I don't fuck with Carrie like that, but I mean, she looked fine. She had at least one lamp on in the room. And then, you know, my girl Tiffany, she looked so cute in her little dress and her little boobies. Loved that. Cameron always looks good, I will say. Now, Deandra, what is happening? What in the MLM, like, power blazer is going on? It was, like, white with, like, lots of necklaces and, like, the hair. I didn't expect better. That's actually exactly what I expected. Because it's just, it's so terrible and tacky, but it's, you know, that's why I love her, to be honest. She's kind of just, that's just who she is. But I am excited for the reunion because I hope Dr. Moon comes out guns blazing and holds these girls accountable for their shitty bullying behavior. Because I have had it. I have had it.
Are we thinking we're gonna do like an ocean birth?
Natural is obviously the goal. Natural, no Botox, first time in 10 years.
Really?
You look so good.
Here I am.
What you just heard was a little teaser, a little snippet of Vanderpump Rules, which Bravo announced is coming back in the fall. We did get, I don't think it's technically like an official cast list, but they were just reinforcing the fact that Jax, Brittany, Kristen, and Stassi Schroeder will not be coming back. It was very obvious that they just wanted to reaffirm that that is the case. And I will hate watch the fuck out of this show. I will, guys, I gotta tell you, I will hate watch this show every single week because it's just who I am. It's ingrained in me. I was a big fan of Vanderpump Rules at the very beginning. I miss the days of hearing about Tom and Ariana making out at the Golden Nugget. I miss when people would fuck one another multiple times during the movie Drive. I mean, this show promoted the movie Drive more than Drive promoted the movie Drive. Like, this show in its golden, like, day, or was that a term? Golden day? That's not a term. Golden era. It was amazing. There was nothing like it. They were so messy, but you could tell that they were genuine friends. You could tell that they actually worked at this restaurant. So I hope that this season production and everyone kind of throws that out the window. Like, I don't need to see pregnant Sheena walking around in her safety steps at Sir or a pump. And if you don't know what safety steps are, you've never worked in a restaurant, because I would rock those bad boys. There are these thick black tennis shoes. They're heinous. Like, they're so ugly, but damn, they gave me arch support in places like I didn't even know I needed it. And you know, I feel like it kind of like gave me like a better butt. I can't explain it. Shout out to Safety Steps. You really got me through some hard times. You got me in that back room in the freezer, you know, the walk-in. I cried a lot next to a lot of avocados. So anyways, do I think that the show just should have called it quits? Yes, but that is not the reality. Instead, we get a very pregnant cast, and I don't know how to feel. Like, I like seeing them grow and change, but that's not why I'm watching, if we're being honest. I'm not watching, Sheena to go to Lamaze classes. Like, that's just not interesting to me. Speaking of one of my favorite little pumpers, Sheena Marie Shea gave birth this week to her baby girl. Now, when I tell you this name is the most Sheena name I've ever heard in my life. I posted a picture on my Instagram story of a little baby with French tip nails and a French, you know, pedicure. And I was like, just released Sheena Shea's pictures of the first pictures of her baby. Do you know how many people believed that? Because that's something Sheena would do. Like, this kid's getting her ears pierced in 3 weeks. Like, she might get some highlights. You know, she's going to be wearing cheetah leggings, you know, maybe like a gold leather pant. So anyways, like I was saying, drum roll. The baby's name is Summer Moon Honey Davies, which is horrible. But I kind of stan, like, I kind of feel like she's going to be a baby little icon. She's going to be on the 15th season of the show Cheer. Like, she will be in Texas with Coach Monica, like, doing her thing. Like, I can just see it now. I'm manifesting this for Sheena Marie Shea and little Summer Moon Honey Davies. And someone on my Instagram pointed out that her initials are SMH, which means shaking my head. So I might refer to her as Shaking My Head Davies. I might. I'm thinking about it. I'm working it. But then let's get into her baby daddy, Brock Davies. Now, I did a little deep dive, and by deep dive, a quick Google search, and it led me to Red Flag City, okay? Now, when I saw him at BravoCon, I saw him in a balcony, and he was sitting next to Raquel, sweet Bambi Raquel. And I just remember looking at him, and he looked like a little beefcake, like, with his ponytail and his, like, big R. Like, he just, like, gave me vibes, you guys. And so I've been to multiple empaths and psychics, and they tell me that my intuition is witch-like. I'm not joking. I've never mentioned it that other people have mentioned this to me, but I have been told that my intuition is witch-like, and he's a dark spirit. He has a dark, thirsty spirit, this man, Brock. He's from Australia. He has a gap tooth. No shade to people with diastemas, but his is specifically annoying to me. So back on her podcast in November of 2019, so they were like, I think, a fairly new couple at that time, because that was also BravoCon. I remember Andy brought up there, like, oh, you have a new boo. And, you know, of course, like, the spotlight went to fucking Brock in his little balcony suite. It was, like, so stupid. Okay, let me compare really quick. I'm not getting off topic, actually. I'm just, like, ranting. So you had Brock in the balcony, and you got thirsty spirit vibes. Then you had in the other balcony to my right, and it was Croy fucking Bierman, King Croy. You know, Todd, what's his name? Ken Todd. Forgot that little goblin's name. Randall and Bo were sitting there. Now, those men, like, hold their women down in the best way. Like, they want their women to shine. And, like, the energy radiating from that balcony was, like, it was magical. Like, they were filming their girls on the stage. Like, they were just so excited to be there. Now, Brock's little thirsty ass, I just didn't get that vibe, dark energy. I don't know. Anyways, so he was on her podcast back in November 2018, and they talked about how the two met. And this is a quote from Mr. Brock Davies. I was like, ugh, LA chicks, stay away from these girls. Then we chatted, and the next day I figured out who she was because I didn't know anything about her. So my mate told me her name, and I went and checked social media, and I was like, who is this chick with a million followers? Whatever. What the fuck? Why is he referring to women as chicks? Like, is that a – that just seems – like, to say chicks in two sentences, like – to say, like, LA chicks, and then, like, I met this chick, and then I met a chick, and then I had a baby chick. Like, fucking weirdo, okay? Weird. I get red flags. And then, you know, he also has two other children, Eli, and enjoy this one, Winter. So he's got a summer moon and a winter sun, I don't know. And they live in Australia. It's all just very icky to me. It feels very confusing. I don't love it. I don't love it for my little Sheena, or as Danny Pellegrino calls her, Shishu. I just want the best for her, but I honestly don't know if Sheena wants the best for her. Does that make sense? Like, I feel like She picks these little thirst traps. She does. She picks these little thirsty monsters. Let's all remember that time she was, like, kind of dating Robbie from The fucking Bachelor with his little chompers. I cannot stand that man. Anyways, okay. And I know they're not on the show anymore, Brittany and Jax, and I don't even like bringing them up. Those little country bumpkins. I don't even like talking about them. But Brittany posted that her newborn son, his name is Cruz. He has his own Instagram account, Little Baby Couchy, because let's not forget that is Jax's real name. So his name is Cruz Couchy. Cruz Couchy. Cruz Couchy. Okay. He is the newest Hooter VIP. They were gifted with this card of some kind, and on it, it says Daddy's Wingman. I want to die. Like, I almost threw my fucking phone across the room. Like, why is this necessary? Why do you need your newborn son to already be like, oh, mommy, you know, girls, watch out. Daddy's little, you know, mini me. Like, shut the, he's a child. He's not even a child. He was born 3 weeks ago. It makes no fucking sense. And Jax is just doing the most with his dad vibes right now. Like, he's posting dad joke of the day on Twitter. Oh my God. I hate it. I hate it all. And I know, I can just see it now that they're going to move to Kentucky. Like, I don't see them staying in LA because Jax is like, I hate LA. Fuck it here. Look at all these homeless people and these cars and the traffic. Like, then leave. Because you seem to thrive in it when you were fucking everyone in America and getting their faces tattooed on your body. But now that you're suddenly, you know, too cool and you're too old. Remember when he was, like, too cool to, like, dress up in a costume but then wanted a costume party for his birthday? Like, he is just a demon from hell. And I hate that he's from Michigan because I see him all the time repping Detroit shit. And I believe he's not from Detroit. He's from, like, an hour away. Like, get the fuck out. Like, this is, like, a Detroit thing, but, like, we get annoyed by that. We're, like, whatever. I could really go on about that. That is boring, and I will not do that. So, end of the story here. I'm just so happy that they're not coming back, and we don't have to witness Jax being a misogynistic fucking pig. Because I just already can hear it now, Jax being, like, why isn't your body back to normal? Like, why aren't you bouncing back? And, like, being just a fucking asshole to Brittany. Yeah, so we're just going to end it there. I could really – I'm getting heated talking about a man that's not even going to be on TV. I don't even know what my problem is. But I am just happy that they're not returning to our screens. Now, I know that we have kind of – not we. I mean, everyone has really beaten the Jen Shah, you know, arrest to death. But I have just been seeing, this is a quick little note for everyone and a little, you know, I had to share my little opinion. I've been seeing a lot on the interwebs of hate towards Jen Shah. Now, obviously, I totally get it. She's kind of being charged with fraud of mostly elderly people, which is really not good. It's not great. But I will say, I'm kind of like obsessed with her going on social media and acting like literally nothing is wrong. Like, this isn't happening. The fact that this woman is still going to events in, like, looks, like, full looks, glam, hair, wigs. She's got wigs. She's going blonde with the wigs. I'm kind of like, wait, like, she's kind of doing the most. And I kind of stan, like, it's legendary. And that is just my quick little opinion. I just needed to get it in there because I love it. I love the Jen Shah updates. I love that she's living in this delusion. It's so good. It's so good. All right. Now that we've wrapped up pretty much everything Bravo that I feel like a weight has been lifted. It's a cleanse. I am doing the Yolanda lemon cleanse. What is that called? The master cleanse. I'm really cleansing my spirit. So I just wanted to get into what has been going on my Instagram lately, and that is that I've been rewatching The Hills, one of the best shows on television, and it was also one of my gateway drugs into the world of reality television, that the Real World, like anything on MTV, I was really like heavily into it. Like whenever I would get an attitude, whenever I would get like a snotty teenage girl attitude with my dad, he would be like, "You're not on The Hills." And I was like, "What the fuck does that even mean?" Like, Lauren Conrad would never. Like, she's an angel princess. And now that I am 28 years old and I have had some time to digest and I'm rewatching this from a different lens, Lauren Conrad, while she is iconic, I will say this, she also acts and dresses like she's about 38 in the show. Like, she genuinely, there's a lot of headbands, there's a lot of like knee-length midi dresses that like have no shape to them. I'm just truly, it shakes me to my core because I remember watching it back in 2008 and everything and being like, wow, these girls have it all the way together. And I'm looking at them now, I'm like, you look like a fucking idiot. Like, you are in Ledoux or whatever that club's name is, and you look like Pandora Vanderpump. Like, it looks crazy. And then, because then what pisses me off is that she then judges Heidi for dressing like a 20-year-old, for acting like a 20-year-old. And honestly, I don't know. I've kind of come to the tough conclusion that maybe Lauren Conrad is a shitty friend. And maybe we were all wrong in the spidey of it all, because they've kind of been together a long time. They've kind of made it, you know? Like, they made it like 10 years, I think, married in this strange world. And I will never forget where I was when Chelsea Handler banned talking about Spencer and Heidi on her show. Like, she literally banned it because there was a time when they were all over the magazines and the tabloids just doing the absolute most. And I just remember Chelsea was like, I can't fucking talk about them anymore. We have to ban them. And I'll say this. She got mad at Heidi for dropping out of fashion school for a job at Bolt House Productions, if anyone wanted to know. Bolt House, he was the guy that worked there, was allegedly, I'm just saying allegedly to cover my own ass because I'm watching it and he looks coked out of his fucking mind constantly. I mean, the man's eyes like were darting back and forth and he was like, his jaw was shaking. It was crazy too. It's crazy to rewatch. If you decide to, you know, please take a peek at that. So anyways, she got mad at her friend for leaving fashion school for a job. But then Lauren didn't go to Paris. She stayed and didn't go to Paris for a man with a chin strap beard who she got dog tag as a Christmas gift for him. Engraved diamond encrusted dog tags. Now, if that doesn't say 2008, I don't know what the fuck does. But I'm telling you, like, when Lisa Love, the icon that she is, the editor of Teen Vogue, or one of them, I will say, looked at her and said, how was the beach with your boyfriend?
How was your summer at the beach with your boyfriend? Did that work out for you?
Oh my God. I would have thrown up on the desk. I would have thrown the fuck up because you didn't go to fucking Paris and then you have your boss looking at you like a boss bitch and being like, how was the beach with your boyfriend? And I was like, I was 13-year-old me like gasping for air because I just remember that moment so clearly. And I just, you know, I won't talk about The Hills every week, I promise. I just really wanted to just get all of that off my chest. Sometimes I feel like I can't on my Instagram. So I just, you know, I just wanted to spread the wealth a little bit. All right, now on to my newest obsession. And I think I speak for a majority of people here when I say that I am in love with Courtney and Travis Barker and their romance and the online like vibes that they're putting out there. I mean, okay, where to even begin? So Travis has been a really good friend of the Kardashians for years. Like, he's made cameos on the show. He's been a really good friend to them. Like, I feel like I heard that they went to church together. I mean, I don't know. But, and I also remember Travis, he had his VH1 show, I believe, with his wife Shanna, and it was like called like The Barkers or something. And of course, I'm fucking garbage and I was watching it like every Saturday morning on VH1. My dad was like, please go outside. So him and Courtney have had a hot and steamy romance. And you guys, like, this is a new Courtney. And this is a Courtney I don't think we have seen or haven't in a really, really, really long time. I think Scott Disick gets a little too much of a pass, in my opinion, for all the things that he did to Courtney. I do think he does have his demons and he has his struggles for sure. One of them being that he only dates girls that are 19 years old. I find it to be very weird. And like, so when he started dating Sophia, I thought, disgusting. She's a child. She literally hung out with Kylie as a child. And now you're dating her. But then they were together for years. And I was like, wait, maybe they're like really in love. Maybe this is like fine. You know, like I remember seeing pictures of her and Courtney hanging out and the kids. And I was like, oh, this is like great. Then they broke up. And now he's dating Amelia Gray Hamlin, who is Lisa Rinna's daughter, Amelia. And that's, of course, going to be Lisa Rinna's new storyline on Beverly Hills, because Lisa Rinna can't ever have anything really about herself. It's always about her children. She like pimps them out. Anyways. So when I see Courtney like living her best life, don't mind me if I cry. When I see Courtney Kardashian living her best life with Travis Barker, they're going to fights together. They're on the beach together. I don't mean to be crass, but in the picture that he recently posted, or someone fucking posted it. It was either one of them, where he's like picking her up and she's like in that really skinny, like nude bikini. I didn't zoom in to like look at her ass, like to be like, damn, like her ass looks good. I zoomed in because it genuinely looks like he's slipping a digit. You know what I'm saying? Like, it looks like it looks like he's fingering her asshole. And I mean, I'm all about it. Like, if that's what you're into, that's totally fine. But like on Instagram, I don't know. Like, but honestly, I give him a pass. I give him a fucking pass for that, because Courtney's been through fucking hell with Scott and that man Eunice, who had a very dark energy. And I mean, Chloe even came out and said, like, he was like miserable, like he made you miserable. And I will agree to that, because I obviously know Courtney personally. And like, she just had this, like, she was down. Like, she had a very sour puss kind of personality. And now with Travis, I mean, he posted a video that I think about once a day of her sucking his thumb. And when I tell you, this thumb suck is like so sensual, I clutched my fucking pearls. I was like, oh my God. Like, it was like a happy birthday post. And he was like, babe, I love you so much. And it was like these cute little pictures. And the last fucking slide was her sucking his thumb. And I was like, okay, this is new. Haven't seen this before. But I'm here for it. I'm here for happy Courtney. I'm here for her, you know, running along. And then his kids are old enough to have TikToks, Alabama. And then I forget his son's name, but they have TikToks. And they post like videos of them all kind of like hanging out together as a family, like with her kids. Little baby Rain, her son, swore in one of the videos. And I was like, oh, that's my boy. Like, what a little cutie. I'm just really, really happy for Courtney and Travis, and I love that they're hanging out with Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox, who are such a hot couple, who also were introduced by Randall Emmett, who was Lala Kent's fiancé and baby daddy. And, I mean, if that is not, like, a full circle moment, I don't even know what is. Like, that is iconic. Like, we need to talk about that really quick. Like, Randall Emmett is kind of in the universe all over. You know, like, it's not seven degrees of separation from Kevin Bacon. Is that the saying? Seven separations. It's something. Four separations. I don't know. But it's something like that with Kevin Bacon. And instead, it needs to be Randall Emmett, because he also was friends with Mark Wahlberg. And there's a rumor that he was the, like, inspiration behind the character Turtle in Entourage. And that needs to be, that is also not discussed enough. Honestly, like, good for him.
And the Oscar goes to Jo Jung-yoon.
So I got to see the love of my life on Sunday night. He was a presenter at the Oscars, and his name, I don't know if you guys are familiar, but his name is Brad Pitt. It is probably like one of the most basic things about me. I mean, I'm pretty fucking basic, but like my love for Brad Pitt like transcends time. Like I will love this man for the rest of my life. I can't get enough. So when I saw him presenting at the Oscars, he was presenting Best Supporting Actress, and he read the name of Jo Jung-un. And if I butchered that, like, please do not drag me. Like, I'm really trying. And, you know, like, I got to be honest, you guys, I didn't watch a single movie from the Oscars. Not a single film. Not a single one. I was too busy rewatching Houses of Potomac for the fourth time. I was busy rewatching The Hills. Like, I am fucking garbage. You can find me in the dumpster. I am a gutter fucking trash person. So anyways, so she goes up and she accepts this award. And she looks at Brad Pitt and she just is like, nice to meet you, finally. She's like, why didn't you ever come to the film? Like, well, we were filming.
Mr. Brad Pitt, finally. Nice to meet you. Where were you while we were filming in Tulsa?
And she says that because he was a producer of this film. I believe it's called Minari. And it's just so shady and so fucking amazing that she called him out like that. And then they pan to him. And of course, he's looking so sexy. He's looking like a real snack with a little long ponytail. And, you know, he was chuckling along, but it was just so funny. And like, it was just such a funny, like, cute moment. And I had to talk about it because, you know, I love me some Brad. I love me some Brad Pitt. I don't know how he feels about the Brad memes. You know how people are always like frat boys are named Brad and Chad. I don't know how he feels about that, truthfully, because he's so not a Brad. Like, he is just not a Brad. He's a Brad. He's a fucking Brad. He's a frat boy. He's a white boy. He's Brad, but he's my Brad. And I just love that moment. I just had to talk about it. Thank you guys so much for listening to my very first episode. Please subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher or honestly wherever you're listening. And be sure to listen next week too. You can follow me on Instagram at Bravo Historian, and Hot Off the Mess is a podcast by The Dip. Follow them at The Dip. That's DIPP. See you next week.